1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 to 8. I share it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. May the Lord bless the reading of the scripture. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the new day. Thank you for the good night's sleep. And thank you for this time that we can come and share thy word. Father, we pray that thou give us the Holy Spirit to help us, that we may be strengthened through the reading and meditation of thy word. Forgive and cleanse us from all our sins. In the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to speak one more time about the proof of resurrection, so that we may know for a certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ that we are following is a true and living God, that we are on the right direction in knowing God and in looking forward to our eternal life. The proof of resurrection that we want to consider this morning is the story of the conversion of James. Do you know who is James? The Lord Jesus Christ have half-brothers. And in the Bible, we noted that there are four half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are the sons born to Mary and Joseph. In Matthew chapter 13, 50, verses 55, they are listed, the four persons. Firstly are James, then Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And the Judas, we believe, is the person who wrote the book of Jude at the end of the New Testament. Now, the story about this James is very interesting. You know, for the 3 years that the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering, from Galilee down to Judah, to and fro, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not believe in him. How do you know? Because the book of John, the Gospel of John, at the last trip of the Lord Jesus Christ to go up to Jerusalem, these brothers, they still did not believe in him. So if you take a look at the book of Gospel of John, chapter 7, this is what we find out about the brethren and their attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 5, it says, John chapter 7, it says like this. Verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh not to be known, seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. So they were saying to him, you have been doing the miracles and implying that you are the Messiah King. But they do not believe. So they told him, if you want to be known as the Messiah, then go to Jerusalem. Do the miracles there. So let the people see. Actually, the Lord Jesus has been doing miracles also in Jerusalem, in Judea before, even in the first year. But they did not believe him as the Messiah King. So now this time they challenge him again. Don't do it in secret. Don't do it in this little town in Galilee. Go to the capital and do it there. So your disciples can see and they believe you. So the Bible gives the commentary. The Apostle John gives the commentary about the attitude of these brethren. In verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. So the point that we want to note is this. During the time of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, the brethren, they did not believe in him. They didn't believe that he is the Messiah King. He is the Savior of the world. James did not believe. But very soon, when I come to the book of Acts, and later also when we notice in the epistles, we are going to see a James who is a Christian. And not only is he a Christian, but he is a leader of the Christian church. Now this is the interesting part. Galatians chapter 2 verse 9, for example. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. This is the report of the Apostle Paul about his visit to Jerusalem, where he met the leaders of Jerusalem, and the name mentioned here are James, Cephas, and John. So the leaders of Jerusalem included James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to ask the question, what happened to James that made him a Christian and a leader of the Christian church? In the book of Acts chapter 15, where the people were gathered and the leaders are gathered in Jerusalem, and we call it the Jerusalem Council, to decide whether Christians need to be circumcised. After a discussion, it was James who stood up and give the conclusion of their discussion that the heathen, the Christians, the non-Jewish Christians, they did not need to go through the circumcision rite. So James, who was an unbeliever, although he was half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, I stayed and grew up with him and noticed and watched all the teaching and the miracles that he did not believe in him. But why? In the book of Galatians and Acts, we found in him a new person, a new man, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only believe, he is the one championing, leading the work to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to him? There must something very extraordinary happen. There must some very great experience that will turn him from an unbeliever into a believer and a leader of the church. And thank God we have the verse to inform us what actually happened to this person, James. Would you like to take a note? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 7 that we have read just now. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. So this is a testimony for the believers in the New Testament church and for us, and gives the reason what causes the conversion and the repentance of James. It was the appearance of the living Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ has risen, he did not go into hiding, but in his new supernatural body, glorified body, from time to time, at least 10 in 10 occasions, he appeared himself, made himself seen and known to the disciples. And at one instance, he appeared to James. So James, the half-brother, who has refused to believe in him and rejected him, he really saw the Lord Jesus Christ that has risen. And that particular experience changed him completely from an unbeliever to a believing Christian. So this is the proof. It's another proof of resurrection. It's the life, the story of the conversion and repentance of James. So, in the church, we have always heard and learned that the story of St. Paul is a proof of resurrection. But you might want to take note also that the repentance and conversion of James is also a proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is very, very important for us Christians today to know for certainty that our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be in vain, because we believe on something historical, grounded on faith. In fact, something really happened. This person, Jesus, he has died and buried. And the same person, Jesus, he really has risen. And to prove to us, to show to us that he is truly the one from heaven, sent from heaven, so that we, human beings, we can know for a certainty who is the true and living God, that we may repent and worship him and follow him for the rest of our life on earth and for the expectation of life eternal after this world. So what is the relationship or the application of the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to us? Now I want you to refer to a verse in the Bible and then to see how we must relate to this fact of resurrection. That is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This is a very meaningful verse. And you might want to color it, stabilize it, take note of it, and then slowly meditate, from year to year, until you also have the same desire like the Lord Jesus Christ, like the St. Paul. What does Paul say here? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. So if you ask the Apostle Paul, what do you want in your life? What do you desire? The Apostle Paul has done with the world. Because of his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also of his experience with the risen Savior, he has come to know for a certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ is a real person. He is really there, and He is alive. He has power over death. And He has the power of future and eternity. Life is in His hand. And we all want to live. We want to live forever and ever. And the person that can give us life forever and ever is the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul said, if you ask me what do I desire, what do I want, then I want to tell you that I may know Him. He desires to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to know more of who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to know more about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants to know more of what did the Lord Jesus Christ done. What did He do in this world? What He's doing now? What He's doing in the future? Whatever He can find out about the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament and from the guidance of the Holy Spirit during His time, He wants to know. My desire is to know more of Him. This is the Apostle Paul. But the next one is the part that related to us in our devotion this morning. That I may know the power of His resurrection. We started by proving and discussing about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ through the repentance of James. And the Apostle Paul tells us that what he desires is to know the power of His resurrection. So what does this mean? The power of His resurrection. Simply say, the Apostle Paul, he wants to know and to experience the influence of the fact of resurrection in his daily life. So this is the fact. This is the reality. He has risen. He is a living Savior. But how this fact, how this truth is going to affect me, influence me in my daily life now, in the way I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that I being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must try and pray seriously that as a Christian, let it never be that the fact of resurrection as if is something far from us, as if it is something just news to us, but it doesn't bother us, it doesn't have an influence, it doesn't affect our daily life. As if there is a division, yeah, between our life and the fact. As if there's two parts, doesn't connect them. It must be connected. Every day, it must be very clear in our mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is a living God, is a risen Savior. And I am following a risen Savior. The Apostle Paul say, what I know, what I want, is that I may know the power of His resurrection. The power that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to rise is a great power. So we may experience this power in our life. This power that resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ, let it be a power that will affect and guide and influence our life. There will be a great power. So in practical aspect, what does it mean? We must let the fact of resurrection to help us know and realize and feel that we are a people of the future. We have a future. We are no more a person that only live in this world. And after that, no more. No, we are no more this type of people. But we are people that have a future. A future is a certainty for us. Recently, I read again the autobiography of Dr. Tao Xianghua. May I know, have you read this book? Autobiography of Dr. Tao Xianghua? You should read. Especially young people, you must read. You know, if you haven't read, go back and read. Because that book will bring you a lot of blessings. Learn from this man, this great man. Okay? Learn. Now, in the epilogue, the end of his autobiography, he said what? Because he wrote that book when he was almost 85, 86 like that. So he said his time is any moment. Any moment, he will leave this world. A little step, he will go to the world beyond. Just a little step. But there will be a great step. Because there's eternity. Life forevermore. Life no end. Forever and ever life. That will be a big, big step. But from here to there, for him, he said, it's just a little step. Because of the age. Yeah. We must have this kind of conviction in our hearts. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has risen, we have the certainty of the future. There's no more fear of death. Yeah. At this point of time, some of us might have this fear. Although we are Christians, but thinking about death, there's a fear. There's a worry. What happened? Now you must tell ourselves, we have a risen Savior. And He will also give us a resurrection, resurrected life. So we have life after this. I always see our life forever, for eternity, in these three phases, three stages. Now is the first stage. From the time that of our conception, then we are born, until the day we die. This is only the first stage. You know that? After that, we will go to heaven, to the Lord Jesus Christ, in the spirit, because our body are buried. While we are living as a spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is our life at the second stage. But when the Lord Jesus Christ return, and we are given the resurrected body, the glorified body, we have again this body back, only there's no sin, no sickness, no suffering. But we have the body back, the body, the glorified body, like the body of the resurrected Jesus. Now, in that glorified body, we are going to live in the new heaven and new earth forever and ever, world without end, eternity. That is the third stage of our living, of our existence. I must think like this. Now we are only at the first stage. Now, if you look at our life in this way, then you have no more fear of death. Because at the end of this life on earth, we are moving into the next stage, the second stage. Of course, we have no experience of death. So we might have a little bit worry. But that should not be the cause of grave concern. Because that will be a better life only now. So we must looking forward to that second stage of life with expectation. Want to find out what it is like. It will be better than now. So if we have this certainty in our life, then we have no more fear of death. We have the hope of immortality. We must come to this point as a Christian. We might become a Christian because we know, oh, the Lord loves us. Oh, I'm so thankful, no? We have the Lord, the living God that loves us. I'm thankful. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. But we must progress. We must mature to the understanding that we have the certainty of future, the certainty of immortality. That is the power of resurrection for us. So do you have this certainty? And be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that because He has risen, I will also be risen. And I am glad I have this certain promise. Now, we must let this understanding to affect our life. You know, whatever happened in this world, still think it's only temporary. Because after this, I will have life with the Lord Jesus Christ. The second state and the final state, eternity. I have life there. Wherever you fear, you worry, what happened? I die. Then you're very scared of death. Then you must remind yourself, but the Lord Jesus Christ has risen. For a fact, it's a reality that He has risen. So if He has risen, I who believe in Him, I also will be risen. So although we have not yet the experience, but we have this understanding, this information, and let this information, this truth, affect our life, influence our life, then we will change, we'll be changed. Whatever happened, we still can be joyful because we have something glorious to look forward to. And also, lastly, the power of resurrection. The fact that Jesus has risen must affect, influence our life now. So we must stop thinking that everything is only in this world. Everything is in this world. Then we have the kind of attitude like the non-Christians. Just want to grab everything. Grab as much as possible. You know? Thinking that whatever that is meaningful is only in this life. And after that, no more. This is the thinking of the world. And then you try your uttermost, try your best just to live a more fulfilling life on earth. And this is not the way we think. Life here is only temporary. The Lord has risen. We have better prospect in the life to come. What we must want to do now is to live properly as a Christian. No? We are put in this world like Adam in the garden, so we must do our work. It's true. Whatever that we find to do, do it diligently. You know, if we are students, please study hard. If we are in the business, diligent in our work. And whatever the Lord gives us, that is our blessing. But don't keep on trying, what can I do to get more and more and more, to live better and better and better in this world. We have something at us. Then spend your time for the Lord Jesus Christ in His worship. Spend the time in His service. So we have a balanced Christian life. We do our part as a human being. We must work, take care of our family, spend time in our worship, spend time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will be so real in our life. He will answer our prayers. He will help us in our difficulties. Then our life as a Christian will be a very wonderful and beautiful life. Whatever is going to happen to us, our life will be so wonderful. Because we have the Lord with us in this world, and we have the Lord with us in the world that is to come. Now, we can have this kind of life and we can have this conviction to live our life because we have come to know for certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen. He has died and really lived again. So we are not cheating ourselves, you know. Not try to suggest to ourselves some thoughts that is not there to make us, to motivate us. No. We are not going to psychology kind of things. But because of the reality of the fact of Christ's resurrection, we can live as what we have discussed. We are Christians. We pray the Lord will help us to live like this. We want to know, like the Apostle Paul, to know more of him and to know more of the power of resurrection. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father, we want to live and to desire to know more of thee and to know more of the power of the resurrection. So that this truth may affect our life for the better and for the glory of thy name and for the blessing of thy people. Lord Jesus, come and help us. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit and give us the strong conviction of the reality of thy resurrection. In the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.